All right, welcome to the Ira Kaufman podcast. Man, Victory Tuesday, Ira. We're recording this Monday afternoon. What a day. I haven't slept a wink. I'm Steve Isbitz from JoeBucksFan.com. Here with the star of the show, Ira Kaufman, Tampa Bay's only Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, an iconic member of the Tampa Bay media, if you are listening for the first time, and we pick up new listeners every single week, Ira.
Your audience is going through the roof here, Stephen.
Going through the roof.
Buck victory.
Yeah, you know, the death of local morning sports radio and the explosion of the Bucks and JoeBucksFan.com. It's mind-boggling. And we owe it all to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. They're the engine behind everything you do at JoeBucksFan.com. Your fantastic columns Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And, of course, your podcasts, Tuesdays and Thursdays, and you throw us that extra bone with your 10 takeaways out of each game.
It's me against Pulowski. That's the game within the game with these podcasts.
And, of course, you're referring to the Bucks Uncensored podcast by Justin Pulowski, which it's the most unique podcast in the history of Buccaneers football.
I keep mine clean, Isbitz. You know, it's just like telling jokes. You got to be like Seinfeld because it's easy to be like Chris Rock. It's easy to curse. And it's harder when you don't curse.
Now, you know what? It's hard to be like Chris Rock. Anybody can curse. Let's put it that way. It's hard. We're all family, like the Buccaneers.
Pulowski's got some expletives I never heard of before, Stephen. Even growing up on the streets of Brooklyn. I thought I've heard it all.
Oh, gosh. It's nothing like that, Ira. Anyway, but yes, you do run a clean podcast because you're a ladies' man and you feel you have to reach a certain level of decorum for the things you do. But, of course, our friends at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, 70 years of Ed Morse, 70 years. That doesn't happen too often of quality service across Florida and the Ed Morse family of dealerships. And, of course, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa.com, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.com. It's really where I start my car shopping, and you should, too. Now, Ira, this game, man.
They were selling cars, Steve, before I even covered my first NFL game.
Are you sure?
That's impressive.
You sure about that?
I am sure. All right. 1979, I started covering the NFL.
1979.
And I covered the New York Giants, and they had a rookie coach named Ray Perkins and a rookie quarterback named Phil Sims.
You know, I feel like you're mentioning that as a preemptive strike against me inevitably saying you've been covering the NFL for 71
years.
Well,
I want to put it in a little perspective,
I got it. 79, starting with Ray Perkins and Phil Sims.
But this is starting to be one of the more enjoyable seasons in almost 40 years of covering pro football because, Steve, what the Bucs are doing, it's rather extraordinary right now.
I'm speechless. I'm speechless, Ira.
You know, you are speechless?
I'm speechless. I cannot believe the turnaround of this team. And you know what? Communicating with Bucs fans today, seeing them out in the streets, but even people on email, friends, it all finally feels real. Like it feels legitimate. You know, a lot of people felt it was legitimate after two in a row, certainly after three in a row. I think I needed four in a row. I think I did.
We now, Steve, have the final hurdle, December football. As you mentioned, of course, you got the nugget from yours truly, 11-37 when the calendar turns to December 1st in the last decade. That averages one win per December in the last 10 years. They've already got one.
You got some good math over in Brooklyn.
Got some good math going. I am not scared of the final four games, nor should any Buck fan. Yeah, Dallas looks like, you know, they've been probably the best team in football through 12 weeks. I have no problem saying that. They're going to be playing at home against the Bucs. It's a flex game, Steve. But facing the Saints twice and Carolina, who, you know, the way Cam Newton's going, he may not even play in that game. He didn't start yesterday because he didn't wear a tie. You know, that's what's going on in Charlotte right now. It's a free-for-all. They're playing terrible. They looked awful. Look disinterested.
Yeah, the U-Hauls will be backed up January 1st at Raymond James Stadium for the Panthers.
And here come your Saints, Steve. The Bucs got them twice. Now, they haven't played New Orleans very well the last 4 or 5 years. They haven't. This is a different Buc team.
Different team, exactly. Now we have to throw all this stuff out the window. We're 7-5, 6 out of 8. The reaction around town, Ira, I'm getting incredible reaction. Have you, in your travels today, last night, have you gotten anything?
Steve, you know, before the season started, we were starting to talk about, is this a lightning town? or a Bucktown?
Well, those questions are answered. I was never asking that.
Those, with all due respect to Steve Yzerman and the boys, this is Buck football that people are talking about. Steve, they've come back from the dead twice this year, 1-3 and 3-5. At 1-3, it looked like Dirk Koetter had given up on them. You know, there was a game against Denver. You know, why should I go for it on fourth down? I might as well punt the ball,
yep.
Get this game over with. We were wondering what's going on. Did Koetter quit on his own football team? And, Steve, they're 6-2 since that point.
Well, let me take you back there, Iris, since you're an amateur psychologist and you've been watching the NFL for a long time. Do you think, looking back, hindsight, you think maybe Koetter was sending a message to the offense saying, you guys stink, I'm not going to give you a shot here with fourth and whatever it is?
Yeah, he. You know, we've said that the guy's candid, Steve, since he got the job. You know, when we dealt with him last year as offensive coordinator, he was a breath of fresh air on that podium.
Still is.
So he was disgusted, partly with himself, because he's calling the plays, and mostly with the execution. And if John McKay was still around, he would have said, yes, I'm in favor of their execution. They were terrible, Steve. They were 1-3. Defense wasn't very good. Offense was even worse. And Buck fans didn't know what to make of it. It looked like another last place finish. Do I need to drag that up, Steve, in the NFC South? That's not going to happen this year. At the very least, that streak's going to end. And Buck fans want a lot more than that, and I think they're going to get it. Race to 10. Well, due respect to Raheem Morris, Steve, do you see any reason why the Bucs can't win 3 out of the next 4?
No, absolutely not. And I don't think there's a Bucs fan around who actually thinks that either, which is what makes this so darn incredible. Here we are. It's December. We're in first place, tied for first place. We own the wild card if the season ended today with 4 games to go and a sizzling hot team. It feels so good.
And, you know, I don't think there's anything gimmicky, Steve, about these 4 wins.
All legitimate. Now, one of the things you wrote in your column, Ira, your takeaways after the game, and of course everybody can find them on joebucksfan.com, was you noted original research, as you like to say, not that this was difficult research, but original nonetheless. The Buccaneers, including this game against the Chargers, the defense has allowed 7 points in the fourth quarter of the last 4 games total. That is glory days, Super Bowl caliber, finishing, close out the game defense. And that's astounding. 7 points in the fourth quarter.
And Steve, on top of that, and you're right, I think it's 25-7, fourth quarter scoring advantage, which is impressive. Steve, this is a franchise who, for as long as we can remember, you and I used to look at each other in the press box heading into the fourth quarter and say, how are they going to find a way to lose this game? They would lead in the fourth quarter, and they would blow that lead in the
fourth
quarter. Sure,
they knew how to lose. Yep.
That's what happened. You remember a game against Arizona, Steve, a couple years ago? They were winning 10-0 the whole game.
Yep.
And then Larry Fitzgerald.
Patrick Peterson picking off Mike Lennon.
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
Sure, we all remember the anguish.
It's a classic Buck loss, you know.
But that's the thing, Ira. We had them this year, the classic Buck losses. Look at what happened against the Oakland. How did that even happen? Look at the Rams game where they're dropping balls that they should have been, you know, game-winning touchdowns.
It's funny you mention the Rams game, Steve, because if things don't go well, if they don't make it to the postseason, we'll probably look back at the Rams game. But that's a story for another day.
I got to disagree with
because
you.
Because the Rams aren't any good.
Well, our defense wasn't there yet. So, I mean, the Rams lighten us up for 30-something points. Mike Smith, just this defense wasn't there. At the time. But, yeah, we'll see if we have to look back like that. We'll see. That
tie by the Redskins, Steve, I think it's starting to look like it's going to work in the Bucs' favor.
Well, they lead right now. The Bucs are up. The Redskins, but the Redskins only have one winning team on their schedule. That's the Giants. The Bucs only have one winning team on their schedule. That's the Cowboys. A lot can happen here, but we're sitting where we want to be. But one more point, Ira, about this not being a fluke. The last 2 victories, okay, and those 7 points total allowed in the fourth quarter through the last 4 games. Phillip Rivers, this is the 12th leading passer all time.
Russell Wilson. Absolutely.
You know, confident guys who are not feeling the pressure. Now, granted, the Chargers had a hell of a drop pass on a key play in that game.
I don't know why that guy didn't dive for that ball, Steve. All he had to do was hustle for it. He would have made that catch.
Yeah, tough throw on a 50-yard bomb. It was in his hands. He still should have had it anyway. But hey, that's not our problem. You know, that's football.
Hey, the Bucks missed a field goal. You know, so and they overcame it.
Well, let's roll into that. All right.
Oh boy, you couldn't wait for that one, baby.
I think with that we should actually
thank God we're not dwelling on it. We're not dwelling on it.
Well, thank goodness. But yeah, we shouldn't just roll into that thing, Ira. We need to drive our Escalade right through it. Maybe even an ATS. You know, any Cadillac.
Let me start the discussion.
Because that's a disaster.
Let me start the discussion.
Please.
That was a terrible kick. That was an awful kick.
The missed 31-yarder by Roberto Aguayo. First half.
He hit it with no conviction. He didn't hit it squarely. And it kept fading right. That's a chip shot. That's a chip. And, Steve, most of all, and I know you'll agree with me, even though you hate to, those are the kicks that Aguayo's automatic for. That's what he's known for. He makes those.
Ancient history. He's automatic for nothing. Nothing. Automatic for antacid and heartburn. That's what this guy's good for.
He's not here to kick 55-yarders, Steve. He's here to kick 37-yarders.
Well, that's good, since his longest field goal is a 43-yarder. I mean, it's comedy. It's comedy. Let's forget about Florida State.
You got to hope an Aguayo miss down the stretch, Steve, it is not going to cost the Bucks a playoff spot.
I hope not. I really hope not.
That's what you got to hope for.
That would be the worst way to go, but if that's the situation, then that's their own fault.
And it would be a shame because, and I mentioned this the other day, Steve, we know Jason Light's draft resume coming into 2016. It borders on the remarkable, compared to what's going on around here.
And around the league.
And around the league. And here we go with Hargraves, who had a big play. You know, Levante David, if he gets the game ball, he's got to give half to Hargraves. He made the play. I think what Hargraves did was more important than what David did.
Absolutely.
You know, nobody wants to talk about that.
I do.
Now, David was the right place at the right time.
We're not following the mainstream media bias of, celebrate the guy who ran in the end zone.
Hargraves had a solid rookie season, Steve. Solid. Not great, but solid.
Let me give you two factoids, Eric, since I know you're the master of factoids. Vernon Hargraves. Solo tackles, he is the sixth leading solo tackler in the NFL among cornerbacks.
Outstanding.
Sixth. Also with Hargraves, he led the Bucs in tackles yesterday against the Chargers. The kid is not afraid to tackle, not afraid to stick his face in there, very Rondé Barber-esque, and he's 21 years old, and he's made some plays, and this has been a great rookie season for him. Not a great season per se, but a great rookie season.
And good point, Steve. And the guy that was drafted right after Hargraves, from a Buck perspective, is Noah Spence. Noah Spence coming on strong. You know, before we got to Aguayo, we got Noah Spence. And he keeps getting better every week. Steve, you know what I like? His hustle. You know who had hustle? Adrian Claiborne.
Yeah.
Adrian Claiborne didn't have Spence's talent. He didn't have Spence's athleticism. So you combine both, you got a very dangerous player. This guy could easily finish with 8 sacks as a rookie. He's coming on very strong.
Yeah, very strong, and it's exciting. And, you know, part of that, I'm not going to get all jaded here. He's got young legs, rookie legs. He's had no lower body injuries, just a shoulder. He's fresh as can be, and he's playing with more confidence. But you see that little extra edge. He wasn't Joey Bosa quick, but he's very quick. And Jason Light's draft resume right now, between getting with a guy that might be likely will turn out to be the best receiver in Bucs history, in Mike Evans, and Jameis, and last year's full grand slam of picks. We looks like we have two good ones this year. That's some strong stuff.
Antoine Alexander.
He's part of the grand slam of 2015. When you put that up against the league, it's going to be, you know, top 10 in that time span, which is great.
And let's throw a little love William Golston's way, Steve, because run defense hasn't been great this year. Hasn't been great. It's been okay.
No, not great.
But Golston's been exceptional in that regard. I don't know where they'd be against the run without Golston. He's got a knack for being in the right place at the right time. He's tough to budge, Steve. You know, not a very good pass rusher, but he knows his limits, and the Bucs are working with him to maximize his effectiveness.
Yeah, he's a very interesting situation. You know, Enley and I have written about this on JoeBucksand.com many times. Guy is probably, I've never really seen better that I can tell necessarily, probably the best run-stuffing defensive end in the league. He's a legit 6'6", 285.
He gets tackles for losses.
Maybe the second biggest defensive end in the league himself. Nobody can really block him. Tight ends can't block him. Very quick, and he gets tackles, and he's there against the run. Not a pass rusher. He's proven that this year. This is his fourth year. He's young. He's going to be a free agent, and now he's hurt. He got hurt. A lot of reports he walking off in a boot. Roy Cummings, your old colleague, reported that, and he was carted off to the team bus or something. If he can't go these last four games or isn't himself, that's a loss for the bus.
It is a
number
loss.
One,
it is a
especially
loss.
Against Dallas. I don't even want to think about stopping
that
run game
that's
without
right.
Will Golston. And then it creates a big question mark for next year because Golston, you'd love to have him. How much you want to pay him? Can't rush the passer, but he's got value. And especially if you think Noah Spence isn't going to be that great against the run, that's a nice compliment to have.
I don't think he'd be cashing in big time in free agency though, Steve, because he doesn't have the sacks. He doesn't have
right.
the sacks. So in that regard, I think he's good value for the Bucs. I'd bring him back. I would bring him back.
I would bring him back, too. It's just a question of what they'll do. Somebody told me last offseason, Ira, when I was...
And he's a good teammate, too. He is a good teammate.
Somebody very intelligent and knowledgeable in these personnel affairs at the NFL Scouting Combine last year, where, of course, JoeBucksFan.com attends in full force. I was told...
Does that mean I'm going, too, Steve? keep going.
You don't want to go to Indianapolis. It's terrible. It's cold.
It's cold.
I don't think I'm going either this year. I think we're going to send Lee solo. Anyway, I was told Will Golston that in February, if he was going to be a free agent, he would have gotten $7 million a year in this last crop, that he was that widely held in his ability and his talent against the run. But I don't think so. The sack numbers will knock
usually
him down.
They pay you for sacks.
Right.
Usually.
Right. But you see what these guys were getting lately. They're getting $2 million a sack. Hey, he got seven sacks. Hey, here's $14 million a year. With these young defensive ends.
Can I throw a little love McCoy's way, Steve? I don't want to go overboard, but he was noticeable for one play Sunday, and it was a big play, Steve. It was a big, big play because the Chargers already led 7-0. Winston threw a pick. The Chargers are driving. It's 3rd and 5 at the 29, I believe, of the Bucks. They make that third down. They go in. It's 14-0. It's a different ballgame, Steve. All of a sudden, maybe the Buck offense is out of kilter, out of balance, because Jameis is throwing too much. And what happens? McCoy knifes through. Steve drops Rivers, and they miss the field goal. The Bucks get the ball at the 44-yard line. It sets them up for the tying touchdown, and all the momentum's on the Bucks' side.
Yeah, it was early. People forgot about it, but it was a critical momentum shifter there. I think I mentioned to you even earlier, it prevented this from being a San Francisco 49ers situation of 14-0 down.
And the Chargers are better than the 49ers.
Exactly. So they needed to contain the damage right there, and they did. McCoy got the play done. Was his only tackle of the game. Can hear the haters now. Oh, McCoy. But you know what? 7 sacks. That's tops in the NFL among defensive tackles. Give the guy a break. There's a lot he does. And if people don't understand his role in the defense, that's their problem.
Steve, let's be honest. We're a little spoiled here.
We're always honest. We're always honest.
Steve, we are spoiled because we had 99. People don't realize how difficult it is to put up double-digit sacks from an interior lineman perspective. It's very, very hard. Ndamukong Suh's not getting double-digit sacks every year.
No, no.
Sapp made it look easy. He had 16 one year. I mean, that's outrageous. John Randall. I mean, these are once-in-a-generation players.
Yeah, you can't compare Gerald McCoy to a Hall of Famer. He's going to come up short, but that is no crime. Not everybody's a Hall of Famer. There are great players. There are key players. And
so he's
you
on
just
pace
can't
to
do
get
it.
9 sacks, Steve. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, which is pretty much his career. 8 sacks, 9 sacks. I think he got up to 9.5 one year. But, you know, it's just, we've been through the McCoy wars before here. You know, Ira, I'm a little distracted because I'm actually at EdmoresCadillacTampa.com. I'm looking at a new 2016 Cadillac ATS sedan. It's affordable luxury and tremendous gas mileage, 22 city, 32 highway. This is the time of year to buy a car.
Never been driven.
That's what new means, Ira.
I understand.
But affordable, season's best event at EdmoresCadillacTampa.com and EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com. Really just extraordinary opportunities there. That's
people,
where you want to start.
People go in and mention that they know you, Steve Isbitz. Can they Can they get a knish out of this deal?
Or absolutely.
Or a macaroon?
No, there's no food. No, this is not a place for sloppy sloppiness, Ira, and mess. This is a Cadillac.
Can you bring a bottle of water in? Yeah.
Now, of course, mention JoeBucksFan.com. Yeah. Mention Ira Kaufman. We're family. We're family. Ed Morse has been with us since 2010. That doesn't happen in this business very often.
Now, knowing your family, Steve, I wouldn't be bragging about that aspect. Continue.
And, of course, today's podcast is actually at Joe Bucks Fan World Headquarters, the Clearwater Command Central, where my dog is looking at you like he wants to kill you.
Your dog's all over me, like a lamb chop.
I know, seriously, Ira, no joke, for our Bucks fans, Gerald McCoy is, with 7 sacks, the leader in the NFL among defensive tackles. Not even tied. The leader. It was a critical play. Now, Ira, you wrote a nice column Monday on JoeBucksFan.com. I write the headlines, of course. Dodgeball Dandy is what it was
there
titled.
You go.
And you did a lot of good work getting quotes from Chargers players discussing facing Winston and an untold story of his game. And why don't you just refresh us there and maybe something you wanted to add to that?
Well, we all know about Winston's arm strength. We know about his will, his passion, his competitiveness, Steve. But I think what goes unnoticed, and I think it's a critical aspect, is his movement within the pocket. Now, Steve, the pass protection was exemplary against the Chiefs and against the Seahawks.
Sure.
Two very good defenses. I didn't think it was anything out of the ordinary on Sunday. I didn't. I thought Winston faced a lot of pressure. Bosa showed us why he was, I believe, the third pick in the draft. Steve, people were laughing at San Diego. He's going to be a very good player. He broke free, untouched, Steve, on more plays than Buck fans want to remember, including the two-point conversion pass to Evans. Nobody touched Bosa. He's bearing down on Winston, and he dodges him. He makes a move and he dodges him, gets another 2 seconds. Next thing you know, a critical 2-point.
Yeah, I think
conversion.
He dodged him 2 out of 3 times that he was in clear.
So, you know, look, he didn't show up in the 40-yard dash at the combine. And some Buck fans were worried about that. Well, wait a minute. If you saw Phillip Rivers running yesterday, Steve, what a difference between him and Winston. I'm not comparing Winston to Russell Wilson or Marcus Mariota. That's crazy. But the guy's got tremendous pocket presence, Steve. Time and again, we see it. He gets hit, but he doesn't get sacked. Big, big difference. He's very dangerous out of the pocket.
Yeah, the numbers are extraordinary. His completion out of the pocket, and but just watching the game, I mean, his
ability. Going into the draft, everybody said, great pocket passer, great pocket passer. Nobody said how dangerous he was and his escapability. So, I found a couple of Chargers talking about that very point. And McCoy said, the coach, Mike McCoy, that's all we talked about going into the game is, we got to get this guy on the ground. He's not easy. If you let him escape, you're going to pay. And we saw that all day on Sunday.
Yeah, it was great perspective because as Bucks fans, when we think of contain, we think of Bucks coaches yelling about Cam Newton and Russell Wilson.
That's right.
We don't think of the opponents thinking going into a game plan of contain Jameis, keep him in the pocket, contain Jameis. It's something nobody really expected, wrongly so. But there was one throw yesterday, Ira, I don't remember if you caught it, but Jameis was sprinting left and fired.
That was a completion to
Evans.
That's right.
Yeah, right to 5-yard line.
Might have been Evans' first catch of the day.
I think it was just before Aguayo missed his pre-first half field goal. And that was an extraordinary athletic play.
Because that's a play, Steve, when you go into your left, you could float that ball. And there were people around Evans.
Yep.
You float that ball, that's going the other way. That was an extraordinary play by Winston. Steve, he's surprising us every week. Every week.
Something I wrote today, Ira, and not just for the shock value. I know a lot of people think sometimes we write things for shock value here at JoeBucksFan.com. But I never would have thought before this season that Jameis could have approached the extraordinary sophomore campaign of one Josh Freeman, also a 22-year-old quarterback who shocked the NFL that year, 25 TDs, 6 picks, running.
Pulling games out.
He had the second most rushing yards to Mike Vick eluding tacklers, you know, physically manhandling defensive ends off
and getting the Glazers very excited in the process.
And he went 10-6.
Yes, he did.
Which should have been 11-5, and his team won 3 of its last 4 to close the season. And if you start to look at the parallels, very close. But Jameis has gotten into that extraordinary stratosphere of Freeman's second season.
I'm not sure a lot of Buck fans want to compare Winston with Josh Freeman. Now you understand what I'm saying.
I do, and that's
why there are some huge differences.
That's why I mentioned the shock value of it, but it's really not, because Freeman's that season for Bucks history was historic. For the NFL, 22-year-old quarterbacks don't do that.
Yes.
And now we have it happening again. It sort of lets you know how quickly it can all fade away, but also how extraordinary Jameis is, and throw in the leadership value of Jameis, which Freeman didn't have.
Well, why do we think it's not going to fade away, Steve, going forward?
Well, we just look. I was there in 2012. I didn't think it was going to fade away. I don't remember reading your stuff saying, this is a one-and-done situation.
You're right. We didn't know he was going to go south like that.
Two reasons. I think Dirk Cutter, unlike 2011 and Raheem and Greg Olsen and then Greg Schiano, I don't think Dirk Cutter is going to coach the competitiveness and the freewheelingness out of Jameis. I don't think he's going to do it. If you remember, Greg Olsen and Raheem, we don't want Josh to run as much. We don't want him to get hit.
Yes.
They're getting in his head.
Yes.
No one's going to get in Jameis's head. Plus, Jameis's work ethic is off the charts. Freeman's was not.
That's a huge difference.
So, and that's really the bottom line. But it's interesting. He's actually, right now, they have the same completion percentage through those seasons. It's an interesting mirror image, and neither one had a lot of weapons to throw to.
Doesn't Winston, Steve, now I mentioned this in my column, and I don't think it's a stretch. Doesn't he look like a guy, a kid who would play for nothing right now? I mean, I don't think the Glazers need to heed that, but the passion is overwhelming, the competitiveness.
The competitiveness is off the charts. Did you see him running? He hands off to Jaquizz Rodgers, and then he's sprinting to throw
a
block.
Yes, I did.
Now, that's just, let's be honest. I hate saying let's be honest because we're always honest. Damn it, you got me saying that. That was pure stupidity. No reason for that. Pure stupidity.
In abstract terms, that's stupid. Yes.
Right. In abstract terms, and in reality, it's stupid. It doesn't help the team to expose yourself to that risk. But the guys see it on film. The fans see it. The team sees it on the sideline, and that's just pure Jameis. This is a play where I can maybe help out, and I'm going to do it. I hope he stops. Part of me hopes he doesn't stop because it's so much damn fun. But it's pure stupid, but it's the kind of thing that Cutter's allowing to happen. And we're all benefiting from it.
It's stupid with a benefit. Now, you're right. Long term, you don't want that. You don't see Tom Brady doing that. He's too valuable. And he knows he's too valuable. That's going to get drilled into Jameis. It'll settle in. But it's an indication of what kind of player he is.
It hasn't settled in yet because he's done a lot of stunts like that. One of the reasons I think it's stupid, Ira, is because it's not like he's a good blocker. So it's not like he's really going to help.
Yeah.
You know? So I think
we don't need him trying to take Joey Bosa out. We don't need that.
The upside isn't there. Now, a couple other things I wanted to touch on, Ira, with you. One I didn't even mention in our 4-hour pre-show meeting. Doug Martin. The Pro Bowl Doug Martin has not shown up.
This is a shiv in your side over here all season.
It is a nasty thorn in my side because the guy has not shown up to the standard he set for himself. Yesterday, again, fantastic touchdown run. Looked like Mike Allstott with the effort that he was exuding at contact at the goal line.
Had a couple other good runs.
But the sum total isn't there. And I think he was 2.5 yards a carry or something like that. But you know what? Repeatedly, Jaquizz Rodgers and Peyton Barber get in the game and they perform better. Now, we discussed this last time. I don't think the O-line's forgotten how to block. I have eyeballs, Joe Bucks fan readers. I see Martin gets hit in the backfield sometimes. He's not pure garbage, but the guy is not the Pro Bowler they're paying him to be. And I know Lee is wondering the same thing. Jaquizz Rodgers looked sharp and ready to go. He was the guy with the rock at the end of the game to close it out, and he was bowling over defenders. I don't know if they hand him the rock.
And Steve, don't forget in the previous game, he committed a fumble that got Cutter enraged.
Yes.
And doubt started creeping in with that miscue because Cutter's not going to put up with that. Look, I've been defending Doug Martin. He hasn't had a very good season. Yes, he's been injured, but when he's played, he hasn't been very effective. Steve, it's reminding me in certain ways about 2014, 2013. You don't want to think about that kind of stuff. You don't want to think that the contract's a factor here, and I'm not saying it is, but he hasn't been very effective. I mean, let's, you know, we're blunt here. We're blunt. He hasn't been very effective.
No, he's done some good things, blocking, whatever, but he's just not the same guy. Not the same guy yet. And I'm real curious to see where they take it. You know, does Quiz get more of the ball?
You know, and you haven't mentioned Charles Sims, who I certainly don't have any reason to think he's not coming back in 2017.
Yeah, he's actually, Jason Light said, we discussed this, Jason Light said he's coming back Sunday against the Saints. So that'll be interesting.
And he's a very effective number two back.
He's a talent. He's a dangerous talent. Somebody I'm sure they want to incorporate. But this season, Ira, Doug Martin, 3 yards a carry. Quiz Rogers, 4.4. They have the same number of carries.
Steve, he's got a lot to prove down the stretch drive here. That doesn't mean the Bucs are going to cut him in the offseason. But they're losing a little faith in him. And it's up to him to turn that around.
Yeah, he walked off the field limping. What that means, I don't know. But they might take advantage of that to gently give Rogers some more action. Tickets.
Fortunately, the Saints' defense isn't very good, Steve. Not very good by any means.
Not good at all. Not good at all. Saints come in, and we'll talk about more about the game in our next podcast on Thursday.
What kind of crowd are we expecting, Steven?
I'm looking at Ticketmaster.com. Plenty of good seats available for your Saints at Bucks, even after last night's extraordinary game. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be a bad crowd.
Is that because New Orleans fans don't travel? I hate to think these things, Steve.
They do, though. They do. We've seen a lot of Saints fans in the past.
You would think we've reached a point where people want to come out and see the Bucks, and regardless of who they're playing. And a game of this magnitude, Steve, I mean, they got to fill those stands on Sunday. Absolutely have to fill those stands.
The custodian
Brian Ford's got work to do this week.
You might have to bust some heads, Ira.
And Dirk Koetter will get to the podium on Wednesday, Steve, and start talking about how they need to fill the lower bowl with Buck jerseys. Steve, the Bucks have done their part. What more can they do to generate a lot of enthusiasm here?
Not much, because I can't sleep. I'm flying. I know loads of Bucks fans are like that on this Victory Monday / Tuesday / we're going to take victory all the way into Wednesday.
Can you imagine Bucks making the postseason, Steve, after being 3-5? This would be a remarkable story.
Frankly, I almost expect it right now. I'm 60% expecting it. I mean,
and you think the division route is the route to go? That's the way you're leaning.
I still stick with that. I still think they're going to.
Falcons schedule is not overpowering, Steve.
It's not. We're tied. I think we can end up tied and win on a tiebreaker. What would be very interesting to me is if we made the playoffs as a wild card and travel to Atlanta. That's actually a possibility, which would be one hell of a ball game.
Boy, that'd be outstanding, because it looks like it'll be Dallas and Seattle that have the byes, right, Steve? That's the way it's looking. Yeah.
Plus, it'll be a lot easier to get to Atlanta than us going up to Detroit. who knew? I think they can win the division. I do. I'm a believer. I believe that they can win 10 games here, 3 out of 4. I don't think Atlanta's going to win out. And I think the tiebreakers will fall our way. That's just my gut. Well, what say you?
It's all in the Bucks' hands, Steve. You know, I kind of think they're going to be 10-6. I really do. The way they're playing, the Saints don't scare me. We've already talked about Carolina packing it in. If you saw them play Sunday night, they don't look like they even want to be out there, Steve. You're right. Falcons' schedule kind of soft starting off this week. But they'll drop one along the way. Steve, they'll drop one.
I don't rule out beating Dallas. I really don't. I don't rule it out. Dallas has played a ton of close games. I don't think there's some sort of superpower.
Steve, did you know that there is an outside chance, that the Cowboys could clinch the number one spot before the Bucks head to Dallas?
Which would be beautiful.
There's a chance. That would be beautiful.
That would be absolutely beautiful. Now, the game flexed to Sunday night. Best I can recall, the last Sunday night game was 2008, Mike Allstott night, October. Bucks were going up against the Rays in the World Series against the Seahawks. They won the game. I don't remember Sunday Night Football since then. Do you?
You know, look, the remaining Bucks skeptics, and there aren't many left, Steve, nor should there be, would say, well, that's a nod to the Cowboys. That's all about the Cowboys. You know what? That's not true.
Ah, baloney.
That's not true. Because if the Cowboys were playing the Rams, that game wouldn't be flexed. They're playing the Bucks, and that game has a lot of meaning for the visitors. And that's why that game's flexed. It's the Buck element that caused that. When's the last time that's happened, my friend?
That's unbelievable, Ira. Unbelievable. Sunday night game, the Bucks on Sunday night football.
And your numbers are going through the roof, Steve. Joe Bucks fan, people are swarming. They want material.
Explosive at JoeBucksFan.com, which, you know, we've never experienced this as a great team in our modern era of JoeBucksFan.com.
We're coming back later in the week. We're going to break down the Saints game. I'm going to show you why the Bucks should win this game. The Bucks are favored, Steve, against Drew Brees and company. Now, look. Anytime.
What's the early line? I haven't seen it. Five?
No, it is not five.
Four?
I think it's three.
Three?
You know, Bucks are very tough at home, Steve, right? Over the years.
Yeah,
very tough.
Absolutely.
Look, any team with Drew Brees, Steve, is dangerous.
I don't care about the betting line. It's a dangerous situation for the Bucks. But, you know, I'm a believer now. I'm all in. I'm a believer. I'm all in. My heart has been warmed to new levels.
Mr. Rizbitz, one thing they said about, you know, Raheem used to say this all the time about Drew Brees. When the Bucs were bad, he's going to give you opportunities. Well, now, the Bucs are forcing a lot of turnovers. Brees likes to throw into tight windows, Steve. He's not afraid. And if he does that enough, the Bucs are going to make him pay for it the way they're playing. We'll talk more about the game. But, boy, what a time for Buck fans, Steve. What a time.
All right, three very quick ones for you, Ira. You don't have
You got
to...
quick hitters?
Yeah, quick hitters. Of course, we always touch on the Mike Smith watch. Hey, obviously, a tremendous job he's done with the Bucs defense. They're 7-5. Is he a hot coordinator? Is he busy back next year? Have they changed your stance?
Every year, Steve, every year there's five jobs open. Now, for some reason, Jeff Fisher's job isn't going to be open. That's a whole nother topic. But there's going to be jobs open, starting with Gus Bradley in Jacksonville. You know, maybe Tom Coughlin's ticketed for Northeast Florida. Maybe he's not. But there's going to be five jobs open. That's just the way it is. John Fox could be in trouble in Chicago.
Come on, quick hitter, Ira. You said he's back next year.
We left Mike Smith for dead a month ago. We said that this guy's going nowhere. He's lucky to be back with the Bucks. Cutter might have to get rid of him. The orders might come down from the Glazers. Let's cut Mike Smith loose. This guy's like Lazarus. He's resurrected himself. nobody knew that this was going to happen. He's blaming, you know, he's saying it's communication. Steve, it's got to be more than communication. I think he's tweaked this scheme, more aggressive. We've been screaming for that all year long, and
health,
now we see it.
Health helps as well.
And health helps as
so
well.
So what do you think? You think, have you changed your stance?
They make the playoffs, Steve. Defense plays like they're playing. He's a hot commodity.
Hot commodity, all right. And, you know, really, Ira, I think, you know what? I think that's all I got. So,
well, we got another full podcast coming up. We got a lot of ground to cover.
Oh, we got a big one coming Thursday. This is just a day for celebration.
And I believe we'll be joined by the Baron of Joe Bucks fan, Mr. DeKemper, later in the week.
He'll be back. We actually are planning, hoping, fingers crossed, we're not sure yet, but a special guest for the next podcast. Don't want to jinx
that's
it.
Called a teaser, my friend.
Well,
that is a teaser.
But that's reality.
Hey, and a very intriguing guest, I might add.
An intriguing guest, like we would have any other. And it's not a woman wearing a tank top, Ira. So calm yourself. Calm yourself. All right. So, Ira, we see you on Spectrum. It used to be Bright House Sports Networks.
That's correct.
When's your next appearance?
I believe I will be on with Mr. Ian Beckles.
So they show that on Tuesdays? I think they recycle that to Tuesday.
They might recycle it to Tuesdays. Yes, I believe it's Tuesday morning. You can see me.
And then next
I'll be
week.
I'll be on with the Mad Dog on Wednesday. And instead of...
That's Sirius XM NFL, NFL Radio, Mad Dog Radio
Wednesday
with Chris
at
Russo.
5, and he usually disregards the Bucks and laughs about them. Not anymore, Steve. He'll drill down on this Bucks-Chargers game and the Bucks' chances, and I'm going to be happy to talk it up.
You should
by
be.
By the way,
I
went on the
be.
Show last week and said Mike Evans is the best receiver in football in 2016, and he left me out of the studio. He almost hung up on me.
And Evans locked you down. Two catches, three catches?
Three catches.
Yeah, let's touch it real quick, Ira. Evans, shut down by the Chargers. And look what's happening with the Bucks. That they win this game with Freddie Martino from the Velvet Line Lounge of the Vero Beach Ramada Inn.
Shepard makes a couple of catches.
Shepard, yeah. Humphrey's knocked out. They're down to nobody. Roddy White. Do they finally make the call to Roddy White?
No, they do not make the call. And by the way, if you're going to give Martino credit, where's the love for Cameron Brait? Cameron Brait, one of the great stories of the year. I'm calling him the badass of Cambridge. Steve, you guys are good with nicknames. You'll come up with
something. Steady football player. Steady football player.
All he does is catch touchdowns, Steve. Well, you know, this guy could catch 8 or 9 touchdowns. I mean, that's high cotton, baby.
And he'll be back next year, restricted free agent. So they're going to slap some sort of expensive tender on him. They'll pay him a few million bucks.
Cutter said he was crushed when he lost Brait for a week. I think it was 1 week, right, Steve? 1 week. Where'd he go? New Orleans?
Yeah, New Orleans picked him up.
He was crushed. He must have barged right into Light's office, man. And somehow, Steve, they got him back.
I love Cutter, and I think he's being honest there. But I think that's a bit of a stretch there. Crushed. I mean, this was the beginning of last year. A guy had caught a few passes. But I get the picture. Well, I guess it's Dante Dye without Roddy White. So you can have your Dante Calgary Stampeder Dye all you want. But, hey, the Bucks are doing it. Freddie Martino, Division II player. Another one, Light's bag of tricks.
Live it up, Buck fans. Enjoy it.
Enjoy it. This is your time, and we will be back Thursday.